Welcome to the Grace Chapel Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you're encouraged and built up in your faith as we dive into God's Word together. Enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you for joining us online on our Facebook feed, for being a part of our online service. I don't normally give out movie recommendations, but I can tell you this. My wife and I, we went and saw a movie the other day called One Life. And if you haven't seen this movie, it is incredible. And so I encourage you to watch this movie. It's about a British man who rescued children during the Holocaust from the Nazis. And it is a powerful movie. Bring your tissue box. I'm telling you what, but that is an incredible movie. So I encourage you to be a part of that movie. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, Paul's writing in his very first letter to the church of Corinth. And here's what he says, really in the opening chapter, verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Verse 23 says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. He says, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, that is a stumbling block. The word stumbling block there means offense. In other words, it's an offense. Paul's writing to the people of his day, and he's saying, to the Jews who are living here in this day, this is an offense to them. And to the Greeks, and that word Greeks is actually the word Gentiles or non-Jew. So anyone who is a non-Jew, so he covers everybody. To the Jews, it's an offense. It's a stumbling block. They can't get past it. They're offended by the message of the cross. To the Gentiles, to everyone who is not a Jew, it's actually foolishness. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. This is what Paul is saying that the message of the cross is, the symbol that we've come to know as Christianity. You know, every religion has their symbol. Every major religion has a symbol that they go by. Buddhism goes by something called the Dharma wheel. The Dharma wheel is this wheel that has eight different points to it. And those eight points represent eight steps to nirvana, to enlightenment. The Hindus have something. It's a symbol that is called Om. And it's O-M, but it's got an A at the beginning of it, Aum. And it represents their trinity. The three major gods out of the thousands of gods that they worship. It actually is the sound of the universe, they believe, right? The Marxists, right? Remember Marxism, believed that they were going to take over the world with the hammer and the sickle. The hammer and the sickle represent the merger of industry, which is the hammer, and agriculture, which is the sickle. And then, of course, Muslims have their symbol. It's the crescent moon and the star. The crescent moon represents progress and moving forward. And the star represents enlightenment. It is the light of enlightenment. In fact, it's interesting that there's 11 countries in the world that so identify with this religion that they have this symbol of the crescent moon and the star on their flag. Judaism, there's only one nation that carries the Star of David. Of course, it's the nation of Israel. The Star of David is a symbol of Judaism, and the Star of David is two identical triangles, one on top of each other. One is pointing to heaven, another pointing to the earth. And there's so much symbolism that is with the Star of David. It's 12 equal sides. Those 12 equal sides represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They believe that it's the sign of divine protection. In fact, some theologians believe that David actually fastened two different triangles on the back of his shield to enforce the shield. So for the Jewish nation, they believe that the Star of David is divine protection from God. But for the Christians, right? For the Christians, We could have chosen any symbol. Could you imagine all the options that we would have had if we would have went through the birth of Jesus Christ? It could have been the manger. It could have been walking through the miracles of Jesus Christ to choose one of those miracles that he performed. We could have chosen that as a symbol. We could have chosen the stone that was rolled away at the tomb, but we don't identify with any of those symbols. Here is the symbol that Christianity identifies with. It is the symbol of the cross. The cross. I asked a man in our church who works with wood. I said, Lee, he comes to the first service. I said, Lee, would you build me a cross? I said, I want a big one. I said, not a skinny one, not some little one. Would you build a big cross? And so he shows up at church one day with that. I said, that will do right there. I mean, did he do an awesome job with the cross? The cross is everything to Christianity. It's not just something we put around our neck. It's not just something we hang up in our homes and we hang them in many churches, although some churches have done away with putting crosses anywhere. It's not just something you tattoo on parts of your body. The cross is central to Christianity. It is our message. And just as you saw in that video, what was used as an instrument of death has now become our hope. Amen. When we look at the cross, we don't see finality. We don't see an end. We see a new beginning. Come on now. We see a fresh start. Amen. We see what God did through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why for us, the cross is sacred. It's sacred, right? To the world, it's foolishness. They don't get it. They don't get why do we put our crosses in every place that we can, in every church, and why do we put it and fasten it on top of churches and steeples? Why do Catholics walk into a church sanctuary and do the sign of the cross on their body? Why is it that the church has chosen the cross to be so specific, so centered, so sacred, when for them, all they see is something that is just foolishness? You know, it was the first emperor who's named Constantine. He actually was in battle, and it was said that while he was fighting, he actually had a vision of a cross in the sky. And when he had a vision of this cross, the words came to him in Latin, by this sign you will conquer. And so it was Constantine was the first emperor ever to put the cross on the shields of soldiers, to put it on every part of their uniform as he went forward to conquer the world. And I'm not saying everything he did was great or perfect by any stretch, because he made a lot of mistakes, but he was the one, the first one to put a cross as a symbol on an army. Right? But for the world, it's foolishness. You know, I was a kid. I grew up in a youth group where we did a lot of street witnessing. We just went out on the streets and we witnessed, and we would go to, when we were here, we'd go to Lake Worth Beach and we'd pass out, you know, you start by just passing out tracts. It's like, don't ask me questions, just take it and go. Come on now, can't answer anything. I'm like 13 years old, you know. But some of the older people, you know, would talk and converse, and I'm just passing out tracts. And then we would go to the football games and pass out more tracts and talk. And then we got these hailers, you know, we called them half-mile hailers, these bullhorns that we would hold up on our heads and somebody would preach the gospel. But then ultimately we started to make crosses. Thank God they didn't look like this, you know what I mean? Like they were much smaller, skinnier, little light crosses. And we would carry the cross through the streets. And we would go to New Orleans and we'd pack up the cross in our vans and we'd drive all the way to New Orleans during Mardi Gras and we would walk down the streets of Bourbon Street just carrying the cross. We would go down to Key West during Fantasy Fest and people would put the cross on their shoulders and we would carry the cross through the streets. And you'd be surprised the reaction. And I'll never forget, we were in Mardi Gras. I mean, the night, Tuesday night, that big night, the craziness when everything was happening. We were on Bourbon Street, and I believe this intersection of Bourbon Street and Divine. And we're here and we're preaching across from a bar where there's all sorts of sin and all sorts of debauchery. Man, we got our half mile hailers and we got our Jesus sign. And it's one thing to have a sign that says Jesus loves you. And it's one thing to just put it on your shirt. But man, when you lift up the cross, something happens. And so we lifted up this cross right on the corner of Bourbon Street and Divine across from this bar. And buddy, the bar unloaded. And they had one objective, tear down the cross. And so these drag queens came out of the bar. And I mean, these were not sissy little men, buddy. They were big dudes with big old arms on them and dresses. And they came. They came at us, buddy. Dolly Parton wigs. I mean, they just started attacking us. And they had one objective, tear down the cross. And you know, I wasn't exactly the behemoth that you see before you today. And so I'm like 15, shouldn't have even been there. But anyway, I'm like 120 pounds. So here they come. So I decide I'm going to use my feet as a weapon. I ran as fast as I could, buddy. I'm like, see ya, I'm gone, I'm out of there. You know what I mean? Every man for himself. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. But here's the thing. When we lifted up that cross, something changed in the atmosphere. Something changed in the atmosphere when that cross began to penetrate the darkness. There's something about this symbol. It's not just some token religious sign. It is the power of God on display. In fact, I would say this, the greatest power that was ever put on display is when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The greatest power ever unleashed on the earth, even more powerful in my estimation than when God created the heavens and the earth. Listen, the greatest power ever unleashed on the earth is when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I believe that with all of my heart. When he worked what he worked in Christ. Whoo, hallelujah. And it happened at the cross. At the cross. And you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about why the cross. Why is it to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness? Why did God choose a cross? Not just a cross, listen, but a piece of wood. In fact, Peter and Paul would both write that it wasn't just a cross and it wasn't just a piece of wood, it was a tree. It was a tree. What was the significance of Peter and Paul both writing that Jesus hung on a tree? Why was it important for it to be made out of wood, right? Let me tell you why exactly. In fact, I want to read some scriptures to you. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter is at Cornelius' house and he's preaching the gospel to these lost people, to these people who are far from God, non-Jewish people, right? Cornelius is a centurion, and it says this in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by what? By hanging on a tree. In Acts chapter 13, verse 29, it says, now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. Right? In 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, Peter later in his life would write this. It said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block, right? To the Greeks, to the Romans, to the Gentiles, it's foolishness. Because the Gentiles looked at it as this cruel form of punishment. So for them, it's a sign of weakness. In fact, there was a Roman philosopher, his name was Cicero. Let me read you a quote that he said. He said, to bind a Roman citizen is a crime. To flog him is an abomination. To kill him is almost an act of murder. To crucify him is what? There is no fitting word that can possibly describe so horrible a deed. In fact, if you study the life of Paul, when Paul is actually on trial, he is beaten before they find out he's a Roman citizen. And when they find out he's a Roman citizen, they actually get nervous. Acts chapter 22, it says this. And when they find out that he is a Roman citizen, it actually says this. They got nervous. They scared him. They thought, oh, my goodness, we have beaten a Roman citizen in Acts chapter 22. Right? Because they just thought it was egregious to do this to someone who has the citizenship of Rome. They considered it a sign of weakness. They considered it the ultimate torture. It should be reserved for the most treasonous act. Right? And here's why to the Jews, though, it was something different. Galatians chapter 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's the reason. That's the reason to the Jews it's an offense. Because when they see the cross, they see someone who died as a curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The Message paraphrase puts it like this. Eugene Peterson writes, he said, Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating curse life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. Woo, hallelujah. He became a curse, and at the exact same time, he dissolved the curse, right? Because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, a piece of wood. Why a tree? Because it all started with a tree. The curse started with a tree. Adam chose a tree. And when Adam ate, listen to me, church, when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree, a curse came upon us, right? A curse came upon the ground. The curse of sin was unleashed on the earth. And so God chose, watch this, to reverse the curse. Did you hear me now? And to reverse the curse, he said, hey, it all started with a tree. I'm going to reverse it with a tree. Wow. Right? I'm not just going to turn this thing around. I'm going to completely overwhelm it. Right? Watch this. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Here's what Paul writes. For the sin of one man, this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. What started with a tree, God reversed with another tree, the cross of Jesus Christ. And he didn't just barely reverse it. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to save you a little bit. Do you hear me now? When Jesus died on that cross, he completely overwhelmed sin and death. Listen, in fact, it says this, that the sin was not like the gift. The gift of God completely overwhelms what Adam did by partaking of that tree, right? In other words, what God did in Christ so overwhelms and outdoes Adam's fall that it's not even close, it's not even a comparison. I want you to know this, no matter what happened to you, no matter what your past, no matter what you've done, all the mistakes, all the failures, everything that we've ever done, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ through the cross of Jesus Christ covers it so completely. Do you hear me? What God did in Jesus Christ completely overwhelms any damage done to us by Adam's fall. Ooh, isn't that good news today? The curse has been reversed. The curse that was brought from that first tree has been reversed by this tree. This is why, church, this is why the cross is sacred. This is why this means so much to us. This is why when we see the cross, something should happen, right? For us, it's not about death, defeat, the grave. It's about God overwhelming death. Ooh, come on now. God overwhelming defeat. God defeating the grave. Listen, when we see the cross, we don't see the end. We see a brand new beginning. Amen. We don't see defeat. We see victory. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen to this. One tree defeated Adam. Another tree defeated sin. One tree brought the knowledge of evil. Another tree gave us power over evil. Amen. One tree exposed our nakedness and shame, and another tree covered us and wiped out our shame. One tree brought death into the world, and another tree brought everlasting life. Come on, isn't that good news? One tree gave us the curse. Another tree gave us the blessing. Come on now. One tree was mankind's greatest defeat, and another tree brought was heaven's ultimate victory. Amen? Listen, one tree changed everything, but another tree changed it all back. Come on now. What was lost with Adam was found with the cross. Amen. What Satan tried to do through the fall, God totally reversed, and he did it through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not just the access of heaven and earth. It's where Jesus' will surrendered. And he said, not my will be done, but your will be done. It's that intersection. It changes everything, right? And so what God did on the cross through that tree, Jesus took our curse. He became a curse so that we could be free. Woo! This is why this means everything to us. Everything to us, right? This is why we lift it high in our churches. This is why we sing about the cross. This is why the cross is important to us. It is sacred to us. This is why we put it in our homes. This is why it means to us not the end, but the beginning. I want to ask Pastor Mark to come. As I was preparing this message this week, I was just so overwhelmed. It's like every time I would talk about the cross or type the words, the cross, preparing this message, I just got overwhelmed over and over again. And I thought, how have we gotten so far away from this message? As a church, as a society, if we could just return to the preaching of the cross. For the world, it's foolishness. They don't get it. But for us, it is the power of God. When I see the cross, I see me. I see everything Jesus did, he did for me. It was there. His death is my death. But his resurrection, woo, come on now, is my resurrection. Hallelujah. Woo. I was thinking back to growing up as a kid, we would sing hymns all the time. I love them, man, I love them. Every now and then I try to sneak one in, you know what I mean? Like, try to use pastor veto power and see if we can't get a hymn in there somewhere. But I was thinking of that old hymn, the old rugged cross. I began to read some of the words to it. I just want to read you a couple lines. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Woo! Come on now. Oh, that's the power of the cross. It changes everything. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute?
Thanks for joining us. And thank you to our Grace family who have been generously giving in to this ministry. For more information about our church, please visit gogracechapel.com and give us a follow on Facebook or Instagram with the same handle @GoGraceChapel. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.